Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. He is the Most High God. He has been given the name above what? Every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those things in heaven, those things under the earth. Amen? Those things on earth as well. And every tongue will confess Jesus, what? As Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So, we submit ourselves to you, Holy Father, today for your will to be done, for your word, Lord, to be delivered by your Holy Spirit through a vessel, God, that is just saying, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. Whatever you would have me to do or be, God, I'm here for you, Lord, to do your will. Hallelujah. May your kingdom come and will be accomplished in every heart and every life today, Father. May the word find good soil today, God. Even now I say you prepare the hearts to receive and the ears to hear, God, what you're saying to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's very important that you and I stay true to our word. What we say is what we mean. I heard somebody say it already earlier, and what we mean is what we say. The reason why we need to stand true to our word is because God stands true to his word. But the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And it seems like in this age it's becoming more and more almost socially acceptable for people to lie. Has anybody noticed that? I mean, the social media is just saturated with falsehoods and lies and deception. The political arena, it's an arena, really. It's a three-ring arena, a circus, of just everybody trying to attack and belittle and spread false information to cause confusion so that people don't know who to believe or who's actually telling the truth anymore. And, you know, as God's people, we are to shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and a world, amen, we are to be lighting up the night. We're not supposed to be part of it. And we have to guard ourselves and we have to be people that are true to our word. And just as God is holy, so we are to be holy. God is true to his word, and so we are to be true to our word. Don't say something and don't promise something unless you plan on fulfilling it. Can you say amen? So I wanted to start out by reading Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so God hates lying because Satan is a liar, amen, and the father of lies. So what is a lie? A lie, I'll tell you what a lie is not. A lie is not somebody getting their facts confused. Has anybody ever done that? Somebody asked you a question and you couldn't quite recollect, and maybe you gave them some information thinking that it was accurate according to your own memory. but it might not have been quite accurate. But if you have a kid around, they'll make sure that they straighten you right out, right? No, Dad, that's not true. It means to make a false statement with the intention to deceive. So lying is you and I knowing that it's not true, but we're trying to convince somebody else that it is. That's lying. So Jesus was speaking to the Jews of his day in John 8:44. He said, because they were talking to Jesus about Abraham, that they were children of Abraham, you know, through birth. And Jesus says, well, if you're of Abraham, you know, you would believe me, right? He was saying, actually, you're not. He says, you're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. So sometimes people think because of natural birth, and even some of the Jews had thought, because we were natural descendants of Abraham, that automatically made us children of God. And when Jesus showed up, he had some news for them. That doesn't make you a child of God. You must be born again, amen? You must transition from death to life. You must come out of Adam and into Christ in order to have new life, to become a son or daughter of God. And so he said, you're of your father, the devil. Now, you know, Jesus didn't pull any punches. He spoke the truth. And how many know that Jesus didn't please everybody? As a matter of fact, Jesus offended everybody, including his own family. And he said the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Has anybody here been hurt by lies? Yeah. I'm sure probably at times we've hurt others with lies too, some of us maybe, huh? But lies are very destructive because the source of a lie is Satan. So anytime we lend ourselves to tell a lie, we're lending ourselves to Satan himself, who is the father of lies. We have an opportunity to obey God and be honest, or we could use deception and tell a lie sometimes to cover ourselves or to get ourselves off the hook. And so in Matthew 5:33, Jesus said, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say," Jesus said, "do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. But not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one." What is he talking about? He's talking about making an oath or making a promise to do something, even possibly entering into a contract with somebody with full intention of not following through with it. So to swear by God's name that he was your witness, that you were telling the truth. So if they were to say by God's name, I'm saying God is my witness that I'm telling the truth. Or some would be saying, well, I'm swearing by heaven, because the Jews knew that it was dangerous to say in God's name. So what they did is they kind of replaced God's name with some other noun, such as my grandmother's grave. I swear on my Aunt Betsy's grave. Or I swear on, you know, right, or my children. People swear by something or someone, amen? And so they were saying, well, I'm swearing by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by my own head, I swear. And how many times when you ever watch Cops? You know the guy's guilty, right? So you've been there and done that, so you know he's not telling the truth. First thing I got to do is they got to exaggerate their innocence. If you're not innocent, you're usually exaggerating your innocence, amen, to try to convince others that you're telling the truth. And right away, people begin to swear. Are you hearing me? By this or that, or by God, or by a relative, whatever it might be. Cross my heart to die, you know. When we were kids, it's like lightning strike me dead or something, you know. It's like, man, it's a good thing God is merciful. Well, usually Jesus is saying, if you are a child of mine, your word is enough. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. You don't have to swear by anything. You don't have to try to embellish or to try to convince anybody you're right, because we're going to stand before the Lord, or we're going to fall before the Lord. Amen. Either way, we stand, amen, as an open book before God, to whom we will give an account of what we have done in our body, what we have said. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. How many know that by your words you'll be justified? Or by your words you can be what? Condemned. So he's saying that words are powerful, and you have to be very careful that you don't swear. Amen? Because if you are a child of God, automatically you should know better than not to lend yourself to Satan and speak lies. Amen? But speak the truth in love. I've seen it in relationships where a man and a woman are in conflict, and they'll start to lie about each other to cover one another or to try to get favor with the authorities over the other. And regardless of the reason or the motive, as a child of God, we should never lend ourselves to that devil. Amen? Because anytime you tell a lie, it only compounds the problem. How many have discovered that? Yeah. Because once you tell one lie, then you, when you're confronted, you're going to have to tell another lie to cover that lie, and another lie to cover that lie, and before long, your whole life can be a lie. And some people have gotten so used to lying that I don't even know if they know what is true anymore, and they're actually believing their own lies. God doesn't want His children lending themselves to the false one, amen? The father of lies. So it's unnecessary for you and I to swear oaths. And we're not talking about like in a court of law. We're going to get into that a little bit. But there's no such thing as a white lie either. There's no such thing as a half-truth. Amen? Well, I'll just twist things a little bit. That's deception. That's still presenting a different view than what is reality, for the purpose of deceiving the one that's listening and trying to convince them, even though you know it's not true, that hopefully they'll believe it's true. To get yourself off. How many know that God will avenge us? God will take care of us. God will vindicate you. Amen? If somebody's lying about you, amen? I'm not saying that you just sweep everything under the rug. If it's a brother or something, you should go and confront them in Christian love. Amen? But understand this, that God's the one that sees it all, that knows it all. And so we're going to give an account to Him. And so I don't have to live on the defensive. Sometimes the devil has us dancing this jig of stomping out little fires all over the place. Have you ever gotten into one of those jigs before? There's one over here, there's one over there, there's a problem over here, there's a problem over there, right? And he just wants to get us all riled up and all worried, and we're going around trying to protect ourselves and defend ourselves and convince everybody that we're so good and we're so righteous, and maybe you are right. But how many know that God is the one ultimately that's going to give the thumbs up or the thumbs down? So let's be honest. Let's be true to our word, because we represent He who is the truth. And God never lies. He's not a man that He should lie. Amen? Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to one another," speaking to the church, "since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Now, in the Mosaic Law, there were several prohibitions against swearing falsely by the name of God. And one of them is in Leviticus 19:12. "Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely, 'I am the Lord.'" Numbers 30 and verse 2. "A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do." Deuteronomy 23 and 21. "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin." And again, like I said earlier, it's not about taking an oath in a court of law. Because we see, even Jesus himself testified under oath before the high priest in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. "But Jesus remained silent. And then the high priest said to him, 'I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.' And verse 64, Jesus replied, 'You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Paul also used an oath to call God as witness that what he was writing was true. In 2 Corinthians 1:23, he says, "Now I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth." He was speaking to the believers, remember. "The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke." In Galatians 1 and verse 20, he says, "I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie." In verse 21, "That after that visit I went to north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia." Now, again, as Christians, we are to be people of our word. We should be the most trustworthy people, the most integrous people. An employer should be wanting to hire Christians. Amen? But unfortunately, sometimes they're afraid to. you know, because of bad experiences with people who are claiming to be followers of Christ and yet living a lie. We don't want to do that because we represent His honor as His children. It is difficult, isn't it, to find honesty today. I mean, look at what's going on in our leadership and our government officials, even teachers and sometimes even clergy, you know, in our personal relationships, business association co-workers, even fellow believers at times. You know, I've worked many secular jobs, different secular jobs, and I've had people make up lies about me, sometimes out of jealousy. You know, they wanted to destroy you. They wanted to belittle you so to build themselves up. Or maybe they wanted to get a promotion ahead of you. So God sees that. God deals with that, amen. If you, God gives you a means, amen, of justifying yourself in the sense that, you know, I've been honest about this. I speak the truth, amen, in my defense. But I'm not going to go around and live my life continually trying to put out all the fires. And people get caught up in the social media frenzy. And they're constantly trying to go back and forth with people on all kinds of issues, you know, and their life is just in turmoil. And how many know the devil wants to rob you of your joy? He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants you to get bogged down in all the stuff. There's plenty of negativity out there. I mean, you don't have to look very hard to find negativity. Can you say amen? We live in a very negative world. So we got to be careful. We got to guard our hearts with all diligence. We don't want to get too caught up in everything that's broken and wrong. Amen. Philippians 4:8 says to focus on the things that are lovely. Amen. And true. Good report. Those things. What's a vow? A vow is a solemn statement or claim used to validate a promise. So under the Old Testament, people would swear vows, okay? They would take vows. Today, we even take vows when someone gets married. What are they saying? I pledge myself to you, right? This is my vow to be faithful in our relationship. Matthew 21, verse 28. Jesus said, what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said to him, well, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. How many here have made vows before that you haven't kept? How many have come to an altar and promised things to God? Do you know that God holds you accountable for what you're saying and what you're vowing before Him? I promise to live for you. I promise to follow you. I promise to stop doing what you told me to stop doing. Come on. Amen. God wants us to follow through with that. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you come under the conviction and you come to God and say, God, I promise, I make a promise. I'm making a covenant with you, if you know that I'm going to keep your word and I'm going to obey you in this and I'm going to forsake that sin. Amen. And if God has convicted you of something, He will also provide for you the power or the ability, the grace for you to actually follow through with that. So there's no excuse of saying, God, I'll do it, and then not do it. It's better not to say, I'll do it, and not do it, than to, right? Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Have you decided to follow Jesus here? Have you made a commitment to God? Have you made a vow before the Lord that, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. God said, okay. Our words hold weight. Anything that we utter, it's better not to utter anything before God than to utter something and not follow through with it. Sometimes vows in the Old Testament were made as a, something in expectation for a favor from God. Sometimes vows are made out of gratitude for His blessings. People would vow to do something for God out of gratitude for what He's done in their lives. And in Psalms 22, verse 24, for He has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned His back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. And then in verse 25, He says, I will praise you in the great assembly, and then I will what? Fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. Psalms 116, verse 12, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. Out of gratitude, verse 14, I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men shall speak or may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 29 and verse 20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Reminds me of a saying we used to say years ago, maybe it's still popular today. Constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Sometimes we got to be careful. And there's another proverb that says, In the multitude of words, sin is not absent. Amen. Life and death is in the death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So we've got to guard ourselves in what we're saying. Amen. Because we want to be in every way representing the Father's glory and his honor. We want to be people that if we tell somebody something, it's no different than being invited to somebody's house, for example. All right? Somebody invited you to their house. And, well, you just decided that I don't feel like going. Okay, that's all well and good. But did you have the decency to call them and say, hey, I won't be able to make it. Sorry, something came up. How many here have been stood up before? You had somebody promise to meet you somewhere. And we used to call it when I was an employer, no call, no show. No show, no call. Oh, we used to hate that. You get somebody hired on, you're ready to start. They just decided they don't want to do the job. They didn't even have the decency to call you and say, hey, we're not going to be to work today. We decided to turn the job down, whatever. They just don't call and they don't show up. Come on. As a child of God, we need to be integrous. We need to mean what we say, say what we mean. If we can't be somewhere, amen, then let people know, hey, I won't be able to make it. I'm sorry. Something came up. How many know that's just called common courtesy? Yes, it is. The reason I'm saying this is because I've witnessed this so many times, not only in our world, but also in the church sometimes. And as God's people, we need to live a life above reproach. We should be the most trustworthy people. Amen? Jonah. He tried to run from his commitment to God. Remember this in Jonah 2 and verse 7. When he was going down into the depths, he says, my soul fainted within me. I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. The voice of what? Thanksgiving. I mean, and if you're going to do a voice of thanksgiving, it means thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now it doesn't say what he had vowed. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. So here he was going down for the last time, amen. The fish had swallowed him up and he remembered, amen, the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord. And he says, I'm going to pay what I have vowed. So apparently, from what I understand from this, if you can kind of put things together, apparently Jonah had agreed to serve the Lord, to be a faithful prophet for God, amen? And he disobeyed the Lord, found himself in a very bad place, but then he remembered, amen, and said, I'm going to fulfill my vows. I'm going to pay what I have vowed because salvation is of the Lord. In James 5 and 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. People in Hosea's day, they weren't being true to their word. Hosea 10:4, they spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep. So injustice springs up among them like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field. There's a connection between false promises and injustice. We're getting a lot of false promises from politicians today, aren't we? Not just today, but it's been going on for some time. In other words, some of them we know for a fact, because their actions speak louder than their words, that what they had promised to do, they had no intention of doing. They were just saying those things so they would get a vote. And they've kept certain people groups enslaved because of those things for years, promising them that we're going to help the inner city, we're going to help people here, and we're going to help people there, and yet not following through. And what's happened now is that nobody trusts anybody. Amen? Nobody trusts any of the politicians. And I believe there's some good politicians. Amen? But if we are children of God, representatives of Christ, then we need to be people who mean what we say and do what we say. Amen? We're going to say something with the intent that we're actually going to fulfill this vow. Amen? We're telling people, I promise to do this. If you hire me or you elect me, I'm going to do this, and we're willing to put our hand to the plow, amen, and get busy fulfilling what we had promised to do. And it's so refreshing when we do see politicians actually doing what they promised to do. Can you say amen? It's better to not to vow than to vow and not do it. Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you make a vow or a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Do you remember that a broken vow brought death to two in the New Testament? New Testament, guys. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? Do you see, when you get into agreement with a lie, you're in agreement with who? Satan. You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. See, it was his choice to do what he wanted with it. But what he was doing is giving them trying to present to them a false narrative that he was actually bringing the full amount when they were keeping back part of it. They were lying about it. See, the property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. What happened to that couple? They were struck dead. They took him out feet first. Then they lied to the Holy Spirit. There was instant judgment over such a thing. Am I a man of my word? I need to ask myself that question. Do I mean what I say? If I'm going to tell somebody something, I know that I'm accountable. I'm responsible for what I promise to do. It's better not to promise than to promise and not do it. If you don't know for sure that you can do something, you can tell somebody, well, I'll try to. Or I'll try to be there. But don't tell people. I hear it all the time. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll see you next Sunday. Where are they? No call, no show. Huh? Yeah. So something came up. It's okay. You're not in bondage, amen? But we want to get together as often as we can, and we should. But if you're going to tell somebody, say, I'm going to try to make it. Okay, if you can't make it, okay, but don't tell somebody, yes, I will do this, and then not do it. It's dishonest. And sometimes people do it with dishonest motives because they just want to get you off their back. Stay true to your word. I'm going to conclude with this. Say what you mean what you say. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. In 1 Peter 4:4, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. I'm no different than anybody here. I grew up in a culture of falsehood. I think all of my friends growing up, I don't think A single one of them didn't betray me at some point in my life, turn their back on me. That can be expected from people of the world, amen? Who don't have the fear of the Lord and don't know sometimes right from wrong. Sometimes they do, but still, as a child of God, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, we should never, amen, tell somebody we're going to do something and not do it. We should never defraud one another, take advantage of another, amen, because we represent the Lord, and we want the Lord to be honored. We want the Lord to be glorified, amen. How many know your integrity is very important? If you cannot be faithful in that which is least, even giving to God what He expects you to give to Him, even doing what God is expecting you to do for Him, if you can't be faithful even in paying your taxes, hello somebody, do you think God's going to entrust to you the greater riches of the kingdom? You see, what happens in the natural has a connection to the supernatural and to the eternal. So we are to be people of integrity. We're to live our lives, amen, in such a way, amen, that they cannot point a finger at you and accuse you of wrongdoing because you represent the Lord Christ in this world. So we should be people, amen, that are faithful, amen, even to obey the laws of the land as long as they're not in violation, amen, of the law themselves. How many know that when it comes to serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, we're under a higher authority? Amen. And so God's authority trumps all other authority. Amen. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Are we going to obey man? Or are we going to obey God? Let's obey God. Amen. Let's use wisdom. Let's pray. Let the Lord will show us what to do in a situation. Sometimes we find ourselves, and I do quite often, in strange situations that I've never encountered before. Anybody been there before? Something new, something weird happens, and you're like, God, what do I do about this? Instead of going, oh, what am I going to do? Say, God, what are we going to do together? Lord, I know you're with me. Relax. Lean back in His arms. Just let go. God has it. He's got it. Amen. He's got it covered. He doesn't want His children stressed out or worried or fearful about the future. None of that. That's illegal for us. We are to find our rest in Him. We are supposed to soak in His presence, amen, so that our whole life is filled with a joy in the presence of God. Hallelujah. When you find yourself being anxious or worried, call on Jesus. Start praising Him. Start worshiping Him. Amen. Even do it audibly. Hallelujah. Because praise is toxic to the devil. And the devil's the one that wants to get you into fear and into anxiety. Amen. Create an atmosphere of heaven in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You know, sometimes when you don't feel like praising the Lord is when you need to praise Him the most. I find that true. So you got to open up your mouth and let the praises come out. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah.